Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, we wanted to look at a subject here that is, I think, of a very important for Christians to think about, especially in our day and age, and that's the subject of the Christian and bioethics. There are a number of things taking place in our society via the technology that God has blessed us with. There's a number of things taking place that call for us to think very carefully about the ramifications of what we're doing. We need to compare everything that is taking place with the scriptures to make sure that we are doing things that are pleasing to God. There was an article recently, this was April 23rd, 2015. It's on a website called TheVerge.com, TheVerge.com. And the article is entitled this. It says, "Scientists in China edit human genome in embryos for the first time. A new study confirms rumors in the scientific community that heralds new debate over the ethics of human genetic engineering." So we want to talk about the subject of Christians and genetic engineering, or Christians and bioethic will be the main topic. And then we'll do a number, there'll be a series that we'll have here over the next couple of months where we will look at, under that heading of Christian bioethics, we'll look at a number of different issues, and today we'll specifically look at the idea of genetic engineering. The article goes on to say this: for the first time ever, scientists have reported editing the genetic code in human embryos. The work was carried out by researchers in China, sought to remove a gene responsible for a potentially fatal blood disorder using embryos sourced from a local fertility clinic. Although the study purposely used a type of embryo incapable of developing into a live birth, scientists have warned about the ethical implications of the work. The technique used to edit the genetic material is known as, I've been calling it CRISPR, but it's here's how it's spelled, C-R-I-S-P-R. C-R-I-S-P-R is potentially capable of not only removing disease from the human genome, but also enhancing traits such as intelligence and beauty. And so when we think about these issues, we need to think very biblically about it. Who better to have on than Dr. Joseph Francis? He's the chair of the Departments of Biological and Physical Sciences and also mathematics. He's also a professor of biology at the Masters College. Their website is www.masters.edu. So this Christian and Bioethics will be an ongoing series here as part of the Masters Minutes segment of the Knowing the Truth radio program. Dr. Francis, it's a pleasure to have you back on the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Glad to be with you. It's great to be here.
Well, Dr. Francis, let's talk about this issue and about the subject. Let me let you comment on the subject in general of Christian bioethics. Why is this such an important issue for us today?
Yes, thanks for bringing it up. It is an important issue, and it kind of gets in the church and even in our Christian schools, kind of gets put in a category, maybe on a back burner because it's biology and might not indicate some of the ethics that we're really concerned about, which would involve social issues. But bioethics is a subdiscipline of biology, but really spills over into other disciplines like counseling and especially biblical counseling. It's important to know for practical reasons. One out of six couples have expressed infertility, even in the church. And so a lot of different kinds of techniques will be offered to believers about how to solve some of those medical problems. And as believers, we're not against medical intervention. And so, but then how do we make these decisions? The other thing about bioethics is it's a large field. It would encompass things like global warming and gay marriage and whether there's a gay gene and those sorts of things. And let me just say, I was just thinking about this morning, as you look at these big topics, all of them come back down to the question of who is man?
Mm-hmm.
What the sanctity of life of man? For instance, in global warming, what's the big issue? Man's activity. Should we stop it? Should we curb it? Should we stop the growth of human population? All comes back to who man is and his role on this earth. Gay marriage, who is man? What is his gender? What is his sexuality? Where does that come from? So it's interesting that most all of these things come back to the sanctity of life of man.
Mm.
And the sanctity of life is an important principle in the Bible that we can derive from our view of God and theology. It's very important. It's embedded throughout the Scripture. And so I think the first thing is to know that view and that there is a sanctity of human life, God-given. I think some of the more basic principles that flow from Scripture is that God is sovereign. God gives and takes away. God created life. He is the owner of all life. And so when we start with that foundation, it helps us solve some of these problems. But there's some really sticky problems. The other important thing for believers, and I kind of preach this to my students, is we don't want to give the impression that we're against progress or medicine or science. Often we're categorized as being anti-this and anti-that and in the media, and we're anti-science. That's just not true. We need a careful, measured response to these things and never forsaking the biblical sanctity of life view, which is prevalent through Scripture.
Hmm. Yeah, that I'm so glad that you tied it back to the two subjects that we deal with in theology. Of course, theology proper, who is God? And then also the idea of anthropology, who is man? And I think it is a fundamental questions that we need to address. The article that I referred to even seems to go in that direction. It says this later on in the article, quote, it raises the most fundamental of issues about how are we going to view our humanity in the future, and whether we're going to take the dramatic step of modifying our own germline and, in a sense, take control of our genetic destiny, which raises enormous peril for humanity. And that was a quote from George Daly, who is a stem cell expert and a member of the group behind the science paper, behind science. I guess that's a paper that's put out. But anyways, they go to that same point about the idea, you know, who is man? And are we going to assume the destiny, which is, as you were talking about, God being sovereign, he, of course, determines the destiny of every man, right?
Yes. And that's excellent. I picked up on the same things in that article, that there is a cry for an ethical standard, almost a reaching and saying, we know man is important because we all enjoy some level of the sanctity of life. We stop at stop signs, and our secular society even observes that preserving life is good. But I think what they're saying is, where do we draw the line? And without a foundational concept about who man is, it's hard to draw where that line is. And what you'll find in the history of bioethics is they'll say this. They'll say, this new technique, we're really concerned about it. And then about 18 months later, it actually has been measured out, but 18 months later, it becomes more acceptable by the bioethicists and the public. And why is that? Because they're not drawing on a foundation for who man is, and the Bible gives us that foundation. Let's talk about the CRISPR technique. Mm. You said it right.
Oh, good.
They do refer to it as CRISPR, and it's just what we call a genetic engineering technique. Here's the basis of it. It's basically allowing us to insert genes anywhere we want into the DNA. The DNA is the code of life. It's made of all these genes, and they control just about everything in the human body as far as our height and stature and skin color and hair and heartbeat and so on. And so there's great medical hope there that we can solve problems with it. And we've known about these techniques for years, but we haven't been able to get them to work very well. In this case, what they discovered this in bacteria. They discovered when bacteria are invaded by viruses, that the bacteria will steal a piece of the DNA that the virus injects. So viruses inject DNA into cells to take over. They want to multiply their own DNA.
Mm.
And so the bacteria, little bacteria, grab onto that DNA, put it inside their own DNA, and now they have a copy of what to look for, just like the police department would have fingerprints on file.
Mm.
The little bacteria is taking a fingerprint of that viral DNA, and then when that DNA, when that virus comes back around and tries to kill the bacteria, it says, aha, I know who you are. You're foreign. I'm going to destroy you. And so it's an amazing, it involves a machine to actually take the viral DNA, cut it up, insert it into its own DNA. So when scientists saw this, they said, wait a minute, we can use this to cut the human DNA and insert a gene anywhere we want. And it's very exciting because they're talking about, let me give you a case study in medicine. They're talking about, leukemia. Leukemia involves bone marrow cells. They're called stem cells that make our red blood cells and our white blood cells. Well, leukemia is the overgrowth of our red blood cells, or white blood cells especially, and it involves a gene that goes bad. They're thinking about taking those bone marrow cells out, doing the CRISPR technique, cutting the DNA, cutting out the bad gene, putting in a good gene, putting it back in the human body, and curing leukemia basically in one step.
Hmm.
The cure today is to go through rounds of radiation and kill the bone marrow and have a bone marrow transplant. Very complicated. This is very exciting.
Mm.
But let's look at the Chinese case. And whenever secularists raise a question about ethics, we should be very concerned.
Yeah.
Because we have more of an ethical standard that we can apply. In this case, what they wanted to do is show that they could cure diseases in the embryo even before they're born. They were curing a blood disease also here, so that parents would be given the option that if they wanted to have a child and they found this gene, they can correct it. And that sounds all very good. Here's the problem I have with the study, and I think it's a problem that these ethicists have. Number one, they said that these embryos weren't viable. That's incorrect, even according to biology.
Mm.
When a sperm and an egg come together, we know that conception occurs. That's still in the biology textbooks, mostly before 1973, but it's still documented that the life of an individual begins when the sperm and egg come together. And we haven't been able to get around that. It seems to be God ordained that that's the only way that you can start a human being.
Mm.
The Bible mentions this time of conception. It's mentioned before birth, and before development in Hosea, and it's a special time. So if they have started life and they've altered it in a laboratory knowing that they're going to have to dispose of this life, then they have killed individuals, and we would be against that.
Yes.
We're not against the research. We're not against the research to cure. But the and it's interesting, in the article they said, we only got this to work 28% of the time on a 28% of the embryos, and they said, we need to work this, have this work 100% of the time. And you know what they're saying? They're saying an individual couple who could be a Christian, they don't want any percentages. They don't want embryos being chosen. What they want is their child being treated and that child live. And they can't do that right now. So we would say there is an ethical problem here. Also, tell my students, whenever we get back to this very early part of development in the DNA, the Bible says, choose life in Deuteronomy so you and what you and your children, your descendants, can live.
Mm.
That means anything we do to the DNA in one person, we're affecting generations to come.
Mm.
We've got to think ahead. What are we doing? Are we causing something? Do we know the result? Will this shorten their lifespan? Will it affect their ability to have descendants? And so there are real biblical principles here. One is conception is a very important time, recognized by biology and theology as being very important and sacred in our own view, and this idea of the future of our descendants. And so those are some guidelines we can use. Now, again, we're not against this technology. And there's ways to do this technology, perhaps in animals and so on, before we move to humans. And I would still be very wary of using it in embryos if there's a chance that that embryo could die. That embryo is a person, according to what we understand scripturally.
Amen. I'm so glad that you brought that out. It's ghoulish to be thinking about taking spare parts from one being, one human being, with the sanctity of life given to it by Almighty God, and then take that part out of that human being and to put it into another. I mean, the ramifications there are just not only sinful, but obviously it borders on Frankensteinish in doing these type of work when we think about it in that way. Secondly, as you pointed out here about the idea about they're not quite sure what that's going to do. Okay, you take that out, you say, well, we're just trying to remove the disease, but there could be these other unintended consequences further down the line. And even more specifically, not just with that individual, but we're talking about in heredity, right? I mean, with creating heritable modified genes. So whatever is done to that individual, what sort of ramification is that going to have for their posterity afterwards? Is that going to, alter the entire genetic makeup of that person's line? Based on what's happening here, these are all far-reaching questions, right?
Yes, they are. And you've hit upon something that I work with as far as presenting in the classroom, a three-step procedure for how any Christian believer can solve bioethical dilemmas.
Hmm.
I tell my students that pretty much all of them will face a bioethical dilemma because doctors are in such pressure to cure disease and deliver perfect children and that sort of thing. And so they're going to be offered, well, we see a problem with your child. Do you want us to end this pregnancy? That's the terminology that we use today. And so that's happening all the time. And so we need to be ready for that. So what do we do? I tell them there's a three-step process. It's biblical. And I start with the second step. The second step is the Bible, the sanctity of life.
Hmm.
And you say, well, why don't you start there first? Well, because we're assuming that we all have some understanding of the sanctity of life. Step two is we go deeper and really explore that when we're in the ethical dilemma. So what is step one? Step one is, what is the history? What is the history of this technique? Is it the first time it's been used? Have people been killed or maimed because of it? Then we really need to be cautious because we're violating the sanctity of life. So step one is know what's being offered. And especially still in our medical system today, even with some of its foibles, as consumers, we have a choice. We can go find a doctor who might be more pro-life than the doctor we have now, that sort of thing. So find out what's going on here. Know or read about it. Number two is reinvestigate the sanctity of life. I think there's also a sanctity of marriage and a sanctity of family that's very important here in any of these decisions.
Mm.
The third step, and that's very biblical, because the Bible is a book of history. The Bible teaches through history. So we should know and use historical analysis to investigate things. The third step is try to understand the future implications. Try to understand the future implications. So if I do this to my child, what could happen? I don't know if you remember Dr. Koop.
Yes, C. Everett Koop.
C. Everett Koop. And the film series is getting kind of old. A lot of believers might not know about it, called Whatever Happened to the Human Race.
Hmm.
And in that film with Francis Schaeffer, he was standing in a concentration camp in Nazi Germany, I think in the 1980s. And he said, some of the things they did here when they experimented medically on humans didn't look immoral. It looked like we were trying to help people. But he said, we have to consider what the next step is likely to be in any moral, ethical, or new implication in medicine. We, even if the first step looks moral, we have to consider, is the second step going to be moral?
Mm.
And that's an incredible statement. So Christians, we have to think ahead. There's a case of a Baptist minister and his wife. It's written up in books about 15 years ago. They're pro-life. And they chose fetal tissue to cure a genetic disease in one of their children. It was a horrible disease that inflicted their first child, and then they were against birth control, which is another interesting topic we can bring up, and had a third child, and they had this genetic disease where they just degrade neurologically and die as children.
Hmm.
They were offered fetal tissue. The pastor and his wife said, we can do that because this aborted fetal tissue is going to be disposed anyway. And I told my students, I said, that's hard because you're looking at your children dying, but think about the future implications. what is that child going to think about when they're 20 years old when you're preaching a pro-life message, right? And you have violated that principle by choosing this fetal tissue. So we have to think ahead about those implications in everything that we do. And some of these dilemmas are heart-wrenching.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this three-step biblical process works. Know what's happened in the past. Doesn't preserve the sanctity of life. Know the sanctity of life deep in the scriptures. And then the third step is, how will this affect your family in the future? So, for instance, there's another, we're getting really good at going inside cells and putting things in and taking them out. It's very possible that we could cure Down syndrome in the future at the embryo stage.
Hmm.
You know, I don't know if we can find much wrong with that medically. It's pro-life. We want the child to live. But should we do it? Should we do it? God says he does create the deaf and the dumb. This is his realm. He does allow us to practice medicine. So I really think we need some Christians really thinking through these things and exploring at a deep level, because these questions are going to come up. And again, we're not against science.
Mm-hmm.
We are pro-science and pro-progress, but that has to be based on preserving the sanctity of life at all costs.
Exactly. And you, and that preserving of life, you know, that's a very broad command, of course, when we talk about the sanctity of life. And it includes, of course, the protection of human life. And that comes into play where you were talking about that whatever we do in this genetic engineering, we've got to make sure that we protect the lives going that are going to be impacted by this. The end of the article says this, the final paragraph says, as Carl Zimmerman notes in National Geographic, there are several major problems with the work, including the fact that the CRISPR technique often missed its target, inserting the DNA into the wrong place in the genome. He said, such a misfire, this is a quote, wouldn't just fail to fix a disease, writes Zimmerman, quote, it could create a disease of its own, unquote. He adds that despite this and other mistakes, there was nothing in the researchers' work that was, quote, conceptual deal-breaker, unquote, for using CRISPR to edit human genes. Future work and research will most likely improve upon the accuracy and the efficiency of the technique. However, this will only lead to new and more profound difficulties. So it's not as if, hey, we're just going to perfect the process here and then it's all done. It's going to continue to raise these conceptual or ethical questions along the way that, as you pointed out, even the secular authors here that are quoted in this article, scientists and so forth, they even have are wondering about these issues. How much more so should Christians be wondering, is this something that is pleasing to God, right?
Yes, and that's interesting, Tool, because you and I, interesting thought, because you and I have talked about atheism and so on, and so many times they come back to recognizing a morality in nature, in their own heart. And it is interesting. And so as Christians, we shouldn't ignore what they're bringing up. I think Zimmerman is a very good author and very pro-evolution, and he's raising this question. But again, the what happens most of the time is about a year or so, people will say, well, we've gotten around that. It was a shock at first, but now it's less shocking, and we should move forward.
Mm.
There are actually some bioethicists and geneticists who say, if it can be done, we should do it. So there's another side to this, and this is where the Christian voice needs to, you know, I think Ronald Reagan said, we are the conscience of our nation on this issue. And we need to stand up and show that we're pro-science and pro-human, but also show and highlight where does this sanctity come from. And I think go back to history and show the eugenics movement and where this improvement of humankind went wrong. And so we're not against it, but we need to do it in a proper way.
Yes.
And I think the Bible is so instructive here when it says, choose life so your descendants should live.
Mm.
And live, that means we need to think about any genetic alteration we do. I would say we can do animal studies. And that's going to raise ethics in the secular world. They say, well, what's the difference between animal and human life? Well, mm-hmm. we know what the difference is.
Right.
That man possesses a higher level of sanctity as an image bearer of God.
Yes.
We can use animals. We have to be careful about that, too. There is a level of sanctity in all his creation. But I think we can do the animal research and make sure of it. But then we still have to be very, very careful about what we do. I think anything that affects a human embryo, we really, really have to question it and say, should we even go forward?
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I would love – they're talking about curing cystic fibrosis. They're talking about curing leukemia. This is very exciting, and we want to be for that.
Mm-hmm.
That is different in the sense that it doesn't affect what we call the germline. The germline are the sex cells of the body that transfer the DNA to the next generation.
Mm.
When you cure leukemia in an adult, you're not typically influencing that next generation. So, again, we can observe the sanctity of life and be for these medical treatments. But I think we have to be cautious and point to the caution of the secularists and say, you know, they're raising these issues, and we really need to look at this and be careful. And then as a Christian, let me tell you why. Because our moral standard has been a positive influence for centuries, and it has protected life, and we want life to be protected in the future.
Mm-hmm. Well, well said, Dr. Francis. We really appreciate you commenting on these articles and helping us to think through and think biblically about these ethical issues. We really appreciate the work that you're doing there at Masters, and we appreciate you taking the time out of your day to spend a few moments with us today talking about this issue.
It was great to be with you, Pastor. It's a great topic, and I look forward to future topics on this subject.
Great. I am, too, as well. Thanks again. That was Dr. Joseph Francis. He is the chair of the Departments of Biological and Physical Sciences and also Mathematics. He's also a professor of biology at the Masters College. That's www.masters.edu. You know, as we think about this particular issue and as we're closing it out there just a few moments ago, the point seems to be that, yes, we should look at the promise of these things, no doubt about it, but we shouldn't move forward until the ethical problems with it are sufficiently dealt with. We can't just say, well, the promise is so great it doesn't matter about the ethical issues. We've got to resolve those ethical issues. We've got to make sure that the process of, you know, reaching the promise that's there is done in a way that is pleasing to God. I think that's the takeaway from our discussion here today. Even we can't just race ahead because of the promise, because of all the reasons we talked about, but mostly because we could be actually violating the sanctity of human life. Looking forward to our future discussions there with Dr. Joseph Francis. We're going to talk next time about assisted procreation and cloning is what we have up next on the Christian and Bioethics discussions with Dr. Francis. He'll be up about once every 3 or 4 weeks in our rotation of the professors there at the Masters College. Every Wednesday afternoon at 11:30, I interview one of those professors as part of our Master's Minute segment right here on the Knowing the Truth radio program. Remember this, the Lord Jesus Christ said, He said you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We'll see you next time.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth. To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, the guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.